It was the only decoration in the room. JB braced his mini-Uzi against his hip.
Ready, Ryan?
Go.
It was just as Ryan expected, but the room was much bigger and brighter than any of the others they'd come across. The chamber measured a good 100 paces long by 40 wide. Doc pointed at one side of the doorway they'd all just stepped through.
By the three Kennedys.
There was a second gateway chamber. The usual message had been printed above it in stark black lettering on a white ground. Entry absolutely forbidden to all but B-19 cleared personnel. Matrans.
It's not quite the same, Ryan. The gateway we came from says B-12. That one says B-19. What's the difference, Doc? Any idea?
19's a much higher classification. Nabobs from the Pentagon personnel privy to Whisper would have been 19s. My security clearance wasn't rated that high. I couldn't be trusted.
So what is it?
Something new that they were working on?
I confess myself utterly bewildered by this. I never heard of any such development in any redoubt. Ryan, my dear friend, have you ever heard of anything like this?
Before this, I never even heard of one gateway, Doc. Never mind two.
When we find out.
The anteroom connecting the control chamber to the actual gateway was larger than usual. Unlike any others they'd seen, it was split in two, with a separate section to the left that contained a number of benches with hooks above for clothes, as well as dark green SecPlas lockers with slatted doors. Jack led the way, his blaster gleaming brightly in the harsh metallic glare of the lights. JB came second, followed by Doc and Lori. Donphil Moore padded along on his bare feet, eyes darting from side to side. Christy and Ryan brought up the rear. All of them had their guns up and ready. Christy hesitated, catching Ryan by the sleeve.
Hold it, lover.
What?
Hold up, everyone!
Ryan knew from his months with Christy that her mutie powers came and went, sometimes strong and sometimes weak. From the look on her face, he knew that this feeling was a strong one.
What are you sensing?
Someone's been here. Recently. So recently, I can almost taste their sweat.
I too feel the scent of men. Close and yet far away. Cold deserts away from here.
Ryan didn't have any mutie extra sense, but he did have keen survival instincts. As he stood in the doorway, he knew that Christy and Donphil were both right. The faint prickling at his nape told him the same damned story. The redoubt wasn't empty. Jack was almost dancing on the balls of his feet with the sudden tension.
Should I check lockers?
Later, maybe. Doc, you seen anything like this?
Indeed, I have not. All gateway complexes were built, as far as I know, to an identical pattern. Every one.
Want to check the Matrans chamber itself?
Ryan nodded. Just to the right of the doorway, there was another scrawled piece of graffiti, in what looked like the same hand. The large print giveth, and the small print taketh away, it read. Beneath it, in a different hand, someone had neatly added, Tom Waits said that. Ryan wondered who Tom Waits had been, guessing it was probably the name of one of the men who'd been working in the redoubt when Infinity had beckoned. The shaman paused and turned around, mirrored glasses reflecting the doorway and the main control behind them. He looked at Ryan.
You think of Infinity, my brother. Do you know what Infinity truly is?
I read about it once, years back, when I was a kid, about the age of Jack here. I read that to understand Infinity, you have to imagine that the whole damned planet is a sphere of polished vanadium steel. Once every 1,000 years, a butterfly comes by and brushes the metal ball with its wing, very gently. Imagine Earth wearing away, and you get a kind of glimpse of Infinity.
Lori shook her long blonde hair in wonderment.
That's fucking loveliest! Fucking loveliest, Ryan!
Watch the language, my sweet little enchantress.
Sorry. Maybe you'll spank my buns for it tonight, huh?
Yeah, you do that, Doc.
Jack hopped around from foot to foot like a snow-headed dervish. Doc blushed.
Button your lip, young fellow. Can't we get on with going into the horn-swoggled boondock gateway?
Jack leaned helplessly against one of the lockers. So Ryan pushed to the front and stood in front of the control panel.
352 to open it, Doc?
Who knows, Ryan?
Ryan tried the code, and the door swung open. The silver glass walls of the gateway were shimmering, showing that it was actually in use.
Fireblast!
Gaia!
By Zorn!
Oh,
Doc,
shit!
What's...
Egad!
It was one of the biggest shocks Ryan and his friends had ever encountered. Bigger than the Mutie Alligator, or the Stoning, or the Russians in the snows. The armored glass walls were almost opaque, but the glowing discs and floor and ceiling flared through, and frail tendrils of white mist crept out beneath the door. There wasn't the least moment of doubt that someone or something was using the gateway for a jump.
Coming or going, JP?
Can't tell. Can't see inside. Can you tell, Doc? Doc, come on!
The old man was standing like one stricken, hand pressed to his chest, all the color drained from his lined cheeks.
Everyone out! Find cover in the main control room! Move it!
Lori dragged Doc out on stumbling feet through the side room, pulling him into hiding behind one of the banks of comp discs. Jack was kneeling next to them, his pistol steady in both hands. Christy and Brian went the other way, finding space where they could take cover and watch the main gateway chamber at the same time. JB and Donfield darted around the corner to wait in the other gateway, the armorer's Steyr blaster poised like a cobra waiting to strike. The Apache held his clumsy Great Sharps rifle braced against his hip. Even at that moment of heightened tension, it crossed Ryan's mind that the tall shaman needed a decent hand blaster.
See anything? Can't hear nothing.
Ryan held his breath and cautiously edged his good eye around the corner of a control console, peering across into the Matran's chamber. He blinked, and then checked again what he saw.
Light's fading. Don't move yet, but it looks like whoever it is going and not coming.
He counted 100 slow, measured beats of his heart, carefully checking again, easing around the edge of the cover, not taking a chance. One of his first memories of joining Warwag 1 and the Traitor was a firefight against some hillies up in the Zarks, most of them armed with 200-year-old muskets. The man at his side had stuck his head up a touch careless, and Ryan would never forget the warm, sticky splash of brains and clotted blood that had splattered his face as the back of the man's skull exploded.
What's it look like, lover?
Light's almost gone.
Could still be coming. We get well blacked out of it when we jump. Could be they're in there.
That was a good point. Ryan kept them for another 15 minutes, watching the clicking digits of his wrist chron.
Man who hurries when he doesn't have to gets himself an early chilling and gives the buzzards a free lunch, Trader used to say. Come on, cover us.
Ryan beckoned to Christy and JB to follow him. The glass walls were blank, with an impenetrable silvery sheen. Ryan put out a hand and touched one with the tips of his fingers.
Still warm.
When they'd been making a jump, he hadn't noticed any change in the temperature, but the feeling of having your brains curdled meant you weren't too aware of what was going down around you.
Shall I open a door?
Guess so. Slow and easy.
Sure.
The Matran's chamber was completely empty. Not a speck of dust or a bead of moisture. No hint that it had just been used.
All right, people, get in here. Watch that you don't touch anything. This might operate differently than the other gateways.
Doc paused to study the control panel near the entrance door, shaking his head.
I swear that I have never seen aught like this. Quite different from anything I worked on with Cerberus. It has most definitely been used for transmitting someone to somewhere, but the good Lord alone might know who and where.
No point in hanging around here now. Nothing to see. Best we move out, get us some food, if there is any. Break out for the day.
Or night?
Another of the traitor's rules had been that you only split your four.